we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each of our listeners today, whether you just tuned in for the first time or are a longtime friend. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There's a lot of conversation about Christianity that could be labeled Main Street theology, meaning it is not related to anything Jesus ever taught or practiced. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. I hope you will continue to stay with us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we thank you for your word that so clearly gives to us the basic truths of our Christian faith. Grant, O God, that that faith may be built firmly upon your revelation, not upon some of the queer teachings that we hear on Main Street. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 13. Once again Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
O Jesus, I have promised to
friends in Christ. There is a lot of conversation about Christianity that could be labeled Main Street theology, meaning it is not related to anything Jesus ever taught or practiced. A few of these statements I would like to share with you today. They're samples of Main Street theology. Here they are. Here comes a word from a public relations expert. He writes, "I am a religious man. One thing I believe is that all religions are good. We are all trying to get to the same place, and that's what really counts." The interesting thing is, it is completely foreign to anything that Jesus ever taught. In fact, he said, "I am the way." That's Christian theology. Main Street theology says there are many ways. Here's another one. Around a table at a service club, you probably will hear a moralist say, "You just can't beat that golden rule. Live by that and you will be okay." After all, it summarizes a Christian faith. It is true that our Lord gave the golden rule, but when you talk about a summary of the Christian faith, this is what Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's Christian theology. But the golden rule is Main Street theology when it is considered the way of salvation. Here's one that comes after a funeral. "That fellow was a good-hearted person. If anyone gets to heaven, he will." Kind of interesting, isn't it? That's Main Street theology, that we're saved by our good life. But the Lord Jesus said at the time of death, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Here's another one that's kind of interesting. It's a Sunday morning golfer who must have pangs of conscience. For he says to his partner, "You know, my mother would said that I should have been in church. But I feel much closer to God on this beautiful golf course than I would sitting in a church listening to a boring sermon." Well, it doesn't say much for the sermon, but remember this, it was God's word, which is Christian theology, that says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Go and worship the Lord." And it is interesting that while Jesus was here on this earth, each Sabbath day found him in the synagogue. Well, here's one that we hear quite often. From the winning team after a ball game, quote, "It was God's will that we won. God was the one who guided us and led us on to victory." The only question is, what about the losing team? Now, it is evident that these people know very little about the Word of God. And if it were not so pathetic, we would say that many of their dogmas are quite humorous. But here are a couple of Main Street dogmas that come from the lips of people who have some acquaintance with the Word of God and should know better. Quote, "Mary, have you been to our old bridge club lately?" And Mary replies, "No. No, I haven't. Since my husband and I became Christians, we haven't had much to do with our family and our friends. You see, we have little in common with them anymore." Tough. Here is another one. Becky is a convert to the Christian faith, having been with the Lord for probably a year, and now desires to share this good news of Jesus with a Sunday school class of smaller children. So she makes application to serve the Lord in that way, and here there's a committee meeting at the church. And the committee is discussing whether or not they should invite Becky to become the teacher of this class. when one piously says, "Why don't we give Becky a few years and see if she is really sincere about her Christian faith? You know, her life in the past has not been too good. She has very little church background." Wow. And the preacher of the gospel says, "How did I do such a poor job in communicating the basic truths of God's word to the members of that committee?" Well, that's Main Street theology, my interpretation. And it's been with us for a long time, for Jesus sensed some of it when he walked around in his world too, especially among the Pharisees. He had been teaching around the sea. There were large crowds who came to listen to him. One day when he was done teaching, he walked by a tax collector's office, and there he saw Levi sitting. And he looked at him and he said, "Come and follow me." And then the scriptures say that Levi left everything and followed him. David McKenna, a biblical theologian, has said, "If the Galileans had had a contest that day to choose the most hated man in town, Levi would have won hands down. He was a tax collector who stole from people. He was acquiring a fortune while still selling his soul. No one except the fellow tax collectors would have anything to do with Levi, so he didn't have much of a social life." By the way, Levi is also called Matthew. Why would Jesus call Matthew or Levi to be one of his disciples? And again, I quote Dr. McKenna, who says, "Jesus specialized in rejects." Don't you like that? Jesus specialized in rejects. He saw the potential for spiritual growth. He saw the potential for Levi, Matthew, to become a great person in the kingdom of God. And right here, friend, you and I can stop and say, we can never sell anybody short. What Jesus can make out of that person is unbelievable. You may not be what you'd like to be, but stop and think of what you would be if Jesus Christ had not had some effect on your life if you are a Christian. I'd hate to think what I'd be like, and God knows I have a long ways to go yet. But oh, the transition that can come in our lives when Jesus Christ can live and reign there. Putting it on the national scene to better known people, not that it is any greater, but simply because we understand a little bit more when we hear the name of someone who has caught our attention in the past. There was a man one time by the name of Charles Colson. He continues to live. He was a brilliant lawyer who had found his way into the White House crowd and was a part of the Watergate fiasco. He had a lot of authority. He was one of the president's right-hand men. And you know that story. We don't need to waste our time with that. But he was caught and he was sentenced and he spent time in prison. But there were people around who knew that Chuck Colson had a brilliant mind and a heart that was filled with passion. It was just that he had been misdirected, that he had really not come face to face with Jesus Christ at that time. One of these men was Tom Phillips. Another one was Representative Al Quie of the state of Minnesota and also the governor of that same state. And they began to talk to Chuck Colson. Al Quie even offered to go to prison for him, if the government would have allowed it. And finally, Chuck Colson, through the ministry of men like Quie and Phillips, others I'm sure, came face to face with Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did for Levi, he did for Chuck Colson. And Chuck Colson became a tremendous blessing to the Church of Jesus Christ when he formed prison ministries. He has shared the gospel with his skilled pen and his great words to millions of people around this world. It is interesting to see that you can sell no one short And Jesus did not do that, and biblical theology does not do that. It matters not what the past might have been. Becky was ready to teach that Sunday school class, and you are ready to do your work for the kingdom of God if Jesus Christ can only have a place in your life. Levi walked away from the tables. He never returned. He never earned another penny, as far as those tables were concerned. But that was all right with him, for after he got a taste of who Jesus was, he sensed the emptiness of everything else. The Pharisees thought a person had to prove himself or herself before the Lord could really use him or her. That's Main Street theology. Prove yourself, and then we'll see what you can do. Not so with Christian theology, teachings that Jesus Christ left behind. Well, after Levi had committed himself to the Lord, and he was going to leave the old crowd there, he decided that he had had some friends in for dinner, and he invited Jesus to come along. As Jesus was sitting there eating with the tax collectors and, quote, the sinners according to the Pharisees, and they were, but so were the Pharisees. They came to the disciples and they said, "Why is it that your master eats with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, Jesus heard them, found out what they were asking, and then he gave them this tremendous statement. "I have not come to call the righteous and sinners. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Here again, friend, what a picture for Christians to take home with them in any given day. We Christians are called upon to live out our faith in the midst of a society that is sinful and unclean. It does not mean that we join them in their behavior. It does not mean that we begin to enjoy some of the things that are contrary to the Word of God that that society is doing. But it does mean that we set aside our piety and we begin to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does mean that we are to get out there and tell the story. It is so easy for us to take our faith and live in isolation from the world. There is something about it that we just like to become quite parochial. And we'll have our own little crowd. And you know good and well that doesn't work. Many of us have a tendency to isolate ourselves from the old world and its sinfulness. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I know I've had to fight that for a long time. I have a background that is filled with legalism, and it's taken a long time for me, and I have not arrived even yet, for that old legalism continues to come back more often than I want it to. It's hard for me to realize the grace of God. Let me tell you a little bit about an evening at the country club. Not the country club in the town where I live, but in another country club. I had been invited to speak to a group of people who met there about once a month. It was in the Christmas season, and they had asked me to come and talk on the subject, the real meaning of Christmas. So I decided that what these gentlemen really wanted was something that was very simple, that they could understand, very clear, and very confrontational, for they were the kind of men that would expect and appreciate something like that. And so I went and told them that the meaning of Christmas was that God had come to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And this babe that we hear about and talk so much about was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And then I went on to tell them that he is the way of salvation, that he had suffered and died on the cross and had paid the price for the sins of the world, and that by grace through faith in Christ Jesus they could be saved. Well, the meeting came to a close, and the men were very polite and attentive. And then they were ready to go on their way, and I had to leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. I had done all that I could do. I couldn't change any heart. And I don't know if any hearts were changed that night, but the Word of God, the Christmas Gospel, was shared with these men. As I was leaving myself, one of them said to me, could I buy you a drink? And so I said, sure. And I went to the bar, and there we sat as that man unburdened his soul to me and listened attentively as I told him what Jesus Christ could do for him if he would but receive him as his Savior and his Lord. And while I was expounding the gospel, all of a sudden there was a thought that flashed across my mind. What if someone saw me here at the bar at 11 o'clock at night? I was sipping 7-Up, but they wouldn't have known it. It could just as well have been some alcoholic drink. And the preacher is in there. Even the unbeliever would have said, isn't he kind of a hypocrite? Can he do anything? Can he be all things to all people? And if there were any pietistic Christian who came by, they would have thought I was completely out of order. But there I sat, and that man hung on to every word that I said. I don't know what the results were. I read in a paper sometime later that he had passed away. Had God worked through that word to draw him closer to the Savior through whom he could have the forgiveness of his sins? I don't know. But this I do know, that the majority of people that I'm acquainted with who do not know Jesus Christ are probably not going seeking the church. But the church has got to seek them out. And that is how our Lord has chosen it to be. And that was his practice. And that was not Main Street theology, but that was a theology of none other than Jesus Christ himself. And I can assure you that if you have not tried it, if you will really share your faith with those who do not know the Savior, Christianity becomes exciting. So why not leave a routine type of Christianity that borders on Main Street theology and walk among those who do not know Jesus and share with them the blessed hope that has set you free and that fills your life? Let God give you a sensitivity to the Main Street theology that is around you, and then flee from its dogmas and seek out the lost with the message that Christ alone is their friend and Savior. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray that we may cling closely to those blessed teachings that point us to you, the one who can liberate us from our sin, and the one who can give us hope through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, we pray that your church, those who trust you, those who have a faith based on that revelation, may in all kindness and love minister to those who live by a Main Street theology, and may what happened to Levi also happen to all of us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that Pastor Larson's message and the music today have brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Through the decades, we have been blessed by listeners planning ahead to help us financially. Estate gifts now make up a significant part of our yearly income and have helped us offer the gospel message to new areas. Have you considered Christian Crusaders in your estate plan? For more information, contact our office by mail or by phone. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.